It's 17 past 8 on Breakfast, and James Carlton joins us now with some newspaper headlines. Hello, James.
Good morning, Fran. We'll start with the Melbourne Age. They talk about clergy sex abuse. One man's struggle to be delivered from evil and indifference. Their news, an exclusive from Richard Baker, Nick McKenzie, the investigative unit, is that Melbourne's Catholic Archdiocese permitted a priest charged with child sex offences to be the spiritual director to another priest who was also accused of child molestation. The revelation contained in a confidential Catholic church documents obtained by The Age that provide insight into the Archdiocese's handling of its child sex abuse cases. Also, we have the interest rate cut front page. The rate cut linked to carbon backlash, says The Age. The Reserve Bank worried that Australians are unreasonably pessimistic about the economy, and it believes the campaign against the carbon tax is to blame. This is a Peter Martin article. Central to the decision, he says, was a concern that no matter how good the economic news, Australians are scarcely noticing in an atmosphere muddied by a campaign against the carbon tax. Well, the Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, has been on ABC News 24 earlier this morning. He had something to say about this.
The reports didn't actually say it was the campaign against the carbon tax. It's actually anxiety about the carbon tax, and the anxiety is real.
That's the Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey. We have the Canberra Times. Budget squeezes ACT public service. It's a budget for the territory. No major job cuts, but less money will be spent on advertising, travel, consultants, plus real estate. The Real Estate Institute in Canberra says homes are affordable. Welfare groups say, no, that's just because they're measuring the price of Canberra homes against the relatively high average median Canberra salaries. When you just look at the people on low incomes in Canberra, it's one of the most unaffordable cities in the country. The Daily Telegraph, well, sent off. Shock end to Gallup era. Rugby league boss David Gallup, front page and back page, given his marching orders, there's a global search for a new CEO of rugby league in Australia. The Sydney Morning Herald, the defence minister took the extraordinary precaution against Chinese espionage before arriving in Beijing. He and his entourage left their mobile phones and laptops on purpose in Hong Kong before proceeding to the mainland after such devices were reportedly compromised during previous ministerial visits. We've got Qantas in the news because there was a Qantas profit downgrade. Some of the headlines, Qantas flies into the red, tailspin, shares hammered, down 19% yesterday. Fake cop scandal, the West Australian, teenager in stolen police uniform, enters East Perth Watch House. He's 18, he's been arrested and charged. The paper says he did work experience with the police and he allegedly had stolen handcuff and baton found in his home, other police overalls, uniform. He entered secure facilities unchallenged in uniform on several occasions. It's only last Friday that a supervisor at the East Perth Watch House actually questioned his credentials, and that's how we got to this stage. Footy fans have warned that racism will not be tolerated after Magpie star Dale Thomas took a defiant stand in support of an opposing player, rival Joel Wilkinson. This is front page in the Melbourne Herald Sun. There's no room in the game for that sort of thing, Thomas said. This is when a fan interjected with the racist comments. The AFL Premier Ted Baillieu, they're backing him for lodging a complaint against this fan for racist slurs. Also, residents in the Gippsland Lakes preparing for flooding. Some told to evacuate their homes immediately as emergency workers declare the threat far from over. Let's remember today is D-Day. Remember the fallen on that pivotal day during World War II. It's also the transit of Venus. Well, if there are no clouds where you are, it's not as dramatic, of course, as an eclipse.
You're already watching it in Hawaii, so perhaps the clouds have parted over there, which is good.
Good news. If you do miss it, you'll have to wait another 105 years to see.
It's worth paying attention for the next 6.5 hours, wait for a break in the clouds.
We do have a younger demographic listening to RN Breakfast increasingly, perhaps not that young. Astronomer Dr. Duncan Steele has the do's and don'ts of just how to watch it.
Need to caution everybody, don't look straight at the sun unless you've got the right equipment, that is eclipse goggles, if you've still got them from the eclipse over South Australia back in 2002, or if you're a welder or you know somebody who's got a welding shop or a mechanic who's got welding glasses, those rated at least at 13 or 14, apparently you can look through those and look at the sun. But there are much simpler ways of seeing it. My favourite way of doing it actually is just use a mirror. Take a mirror, cover it up nearly all with cardboard, just cut a hole in the middle, maybe 5 or 6 millimeters across, doesn't matter the shape of the hole, but with that, reflect an image onto a screen or up onto your ceiling or something if you're looking out of a window. And that'll give you a little image of the sun, maybe a few centimeters across, and you'll see that in that very bright disk, there'll be a black blob moving across.
Square of cardboard. Amazing what technology can do. That's astronomer Dr. Duncan Steele. Fran, the full interview, your full interview is on the website now.
Thanks very much, James. An important message, especially for the kids, because they'll be seeing this. Perhaps they've seen it on the television news last night or this morning, or seeing it in the newspapers and getting excited about it. Don't let them look directly at the sun, because it does can do long-term damage to your eyes, to the retina, apparently. It's 8:22 on Breakfast.